Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love him and to serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful God in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to his will. In the peace of that forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, John the Baptist pointed to you as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Help us to look to you in faith and lead others to your glory, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. What might have been obvious to John the Baptizer's audience might be a little bit odd to us. We may have heard it before that Jesus is this Lamb of God. But John's audience understood that the Lamb was the one who was to sacrifice his life so the sinner could go free. That sin costs. And so it is that Jesus came to pick up our sin and to carry off our sin. So on the second Sunday of Epiphany, Jesus is the Christ. He is the one revealed as the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. We see that then as we turn our attention to God's Word, our first lesson comes to us from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 49, the first six verses. Through the prophet here, the Lord's servant calls the world to pay attention to what he has to say to all of us. He's the one whom God has selected, the one whom God has equipped to be the Savior, not only to help Israel, but to be the light of the Gentiles. His work of delivering all people from sin would be successful because God supported him as he carried out the mission of salvation. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I've labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Here ends our Old Testament lesson. I invite you to join with me this morning also in the Psalm 40. The Lamb of God is the Lord's answer to our cry for mercy. We go to him. He hears us. He helps us. We sing the refrain in the verses of Psalm 40. Chapter 13, beginning with verse 38. We come kind of in the middle of the story here. Luke reports the work of Paul and Barnabas. They're in the city called Pisidian Antioch. We really have them preaching on two successive Sabbath days, two Saturdays, and then also their work in between. They announce to all that Jesus is the Savior of all, both to Jews and Gentiles. And always when the gospel is preached, there is this mixed reaction. Some rejected, others rejoiced. But Paul continues to point Jesus as the light of the world and the Savior of the world to the ends of the earth. We hear about this in Acts chapter 13. "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything. You could not be justified by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. For I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe even if someone told you. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Here ends our second lesson. Please stand in honor of our gospel lesson. Our gospel is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 1, reading verses 29 through 41. 2 days in the row, John the Baptizer pointed to Jesus and said, "That's the Lamb of God," and testified that he was the Son of God. And then we see two of John's disciples follow after Jesus to learn more about them. And after spending time with Jesus, Andrew went to share the good news of the Messiah, the Christ, with his brother, Simon Peter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated as we now hear the anthem, "Behold the Lamb of God," the same thing John the Baptist said. And then after that, we will follow that with the hymn of the day, hymn number 85, "O God from God, O Light from Light," as we often confess, that is Jesus the Christ.
In darkness deep, now see the light of morning. The mighty God, the Prince of Peace, a child to us is born. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Life and light Be
God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I'm right. You don't have to correct me if I'm wrong. Those who live in my house take care of that. They don't need any of your help. But here it is. Moms are biased. I don't mean to suggest that dads aren't, but for the most part, mothers seem to see things in their children that others don't. I'm not saying that's bad. I have a mother. It's nice to have a fan. It's not that mommies deny certain things. It seems, though, that mothers defend several things. And that's okay, isn't it? It's okay if they're proud of their son or daughter or sons and daughters, whatever the combination might be. They're proud of another academic achievement because there's another A on the second quarter report card, or if there's an athletic achievement, another basket in the school gym. But what's true of a mother is even more so of God. But this is not subjective and exaggerated. This is objective and it is exciting. So see what God sees in Christ. See what God sees in Christ, the servant of all, and also the Savior of all. We turn our attention once again to the prophet Isaiah chapter 49, reading those six verses. Again, if you want to follow along, they are recorded for you on page 5 in the worship folder. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I've labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Here ends our reading. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, who came to serve us and to save us. Maybe you've had time to step back and reflect on Christmas now that it's in the rearview mirror almost an entire month. Maybe the presents you opened or the people you visited. Mary did. Mary reflected on Christmas both before and after. The angel Gabriel told her that she was going to be the mother of God. She raced to her relative Elizabeth, and when she got there, she magnified the Lord as she sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She needed one to save her, and that one would be born for her. And then on that first Christmas night, the shepherds had come to the stable and then they had returned to their flocks. And Luke mentions that she quietly reflects. Mary treasured up all these things from the announcement of the angel all the way to the visit of the shepherd. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She needed one to serve her, and that one was born from her. But it's not just what Mary, his mother, thought of him that was valuable. More importantly, it's what God, his Father, thought of him that is vital. So for that reason, see what God sees in Christ. I realize this is quite simplistic, but what does a servant do? Serves. Kind of like a waiter in a restaurant. And that's Jesus, the Christ, appointed by God. See what God sees in Christ, the servant of all. In fact, that's the very one who speaks with words and with authority. Two times he tells us to take note. He says, listen to me. They were not merely to give their ear, they were mainly to give their attention. A teacher wants all of his students not to miss what he is presenting in math class when it comes to fractions. And not just some. Jesus says, listen to me, you islands. In Isaiah's day, that was the far extremes of the then known world. Listen to me, you islands, and hear this. Hear this. This was to be carefully and alertly. See, a doctor wants her patient to understand what she is saying when it comes to a diagnosis. And not just several. Hear this, you distant nations. This was to be to the far ends of the globe. But listen to what? And hear about what? The very fact that God had selected him to be the Messiah. And this was deliberate. And it wasn't by chance. It was by choice. Like an NFL general manager or a collegiate athletic director now is tasked with finding a new head coach when one leaves the institution or is fired from the team. You don't want just any Monday morning armchair quarterback. So this was intentional on the Lord's part. Before I was born, the Lord called me. This was long before Mary's womb that the Lord summoned him for this specific task. It was to that frightened Adam and Eve who found out in the garden that one would come to crush the devil's head forever. And that carried on prophet after prophet throughout the Old Testament. As Isaiah had indicated earlier in his book, he says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Jesus really is one of us. Jesus really is God with us. Not only that, from my birth, he has made mention of my name. See, God had announced that to Mary through the angel Gabriel. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And as we reviewed a month ago, that's exactly what happened. That Jesus is the one whom God determined and decided and designated to carry out this important task of being the servant of all and the Savior of all. And he was not just picked, but prepared as the ultimate messenger, this spokesman, this mouthpiece used at just the very right time. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. There was safety as Jesus used God's word. As God's word is described, sharper than any double-edged sword. Jesus did that to confront and cut away any pride. Remember how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law looked down on Jesus as he often ate with sinners and tax collectors? So Jesus used the word to confront and cut away pride. He told them parables about something that was lost but now found, a sheep or a coin, or someone, a son that was dead but was now alive. And how there was great joy in heaven over any sinner who repents, turning from that sin and turning to their Savior. And then there are those times that Jesus has to expose our arrogance, that we are good without him, or we're not that bad before him. And sometimes he has to slice deep, but he strikes correctly. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. There was security as Jesus used God's word to comfort and then send that sin away. Remember how those the friends of the paralytic lowered him right from the roof right before Jesus, and Jesus got to the heart of the matter with tremendous accuracy. Son, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus uses God's word, and it hits the center of the target when he cancels our debt, removing our sin for good and forever. And he soothes completely. So that's why the Lord could go on to contend. You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. See, there that word is, again, it is so small, but yet it is so significant. My. You are my servant. See what God sees in Christ. He is the servant of all. That God dispatched Jesus, and Jesus came to do the Father's will of a devoted and a dutiful servant. And in so doing, Jesus brought honor then to his Father by going to the cross and coming out of that grave. And Jesus was pleased with him. Remember how you heard that last Sunday? This one right here. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Pleased as Jesus would go on to make known God's truth and make clear God's grace. But as we know, throughout Jesus' ministry, the path was hard. It was lowly and it was lonely. And the servant is emphatic as he explains 700 years before. He says, but I said, I've labored to no purpose. I spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Jesus did humble himself, facing the very things that you and I face on a daily basis. And there was this temptation to despair. Like someone snow blowing yesterday morning as the snow was still falling. Isn't that kind of pointless? John tells us that Jesus came to his own, but his very own people did not receive him. Jesus expended his energy all the way to the verge of exhaustion, using up his power. And for what? Stunning success? It really didn't appear that way, did it? When he asserted in his hometown of Nazareth that he was the one that Isaiah had assured would proclaim good news to the poor, to you and me, to spiritual beggars who had nothing and needed everything. And what did they do? They took him to the cliff outside of town and tried to toss him off. I've labored to no purpose. Emptiness. So it seemed. Or after feeding 5,000 plus individuals with that small boy's lunchbox, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, Jesus declared that he was the bread of heaven that came down to give life, that those who trusted in him would live. But John goes on to record, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And from that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. I've spent my strength in vain, worthless, or so it seemed. And then, when the early hours of Good Friday dawned, after one of his disciples had denied him and the rest of them had deserted him, he stood unfairly before those mock trials and finally before Pilate, and the mob cries out, "Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar!" Can you hear it? I've spent my strength for nothing. Useless, like the vapor on a cold morning as it quickly disappears from sight. Or so it seemed. See, we know what the servant of the Lord felt because we have poured out our energy, maybe on a family member, only for them to leave us hanging, and it is hard, and it hurts, it stings. But Jesus didn't give in to doubt. See, things are not always as they appear. See, there's this great contrast and good thing for us. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. See, God was with the servant of all who became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And he even exclaimed from that instrument of torture, my God, why have you forsaken me? But later he would express, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And God exalted him, raising him from the dead, welcoming him back to heaven. See what God sees in Christ, the servant of all who carried out his Father's will to defeat the devil and to destroy death for us. Again, I suppose that it's realistic, but what does a Savior do? Saves, like a lifeguard at the edge of a pool. And that is Jesus the Christ, anointed by God. So see what God sees in Christ, the Savior of all. The servant of the Lord had put his hope in the help of the Lord, and that is never misplaced. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. See, God could do what he desired through the servant of all. He could hold up his servant as he tackled everything and triumphed over everything. And so then the Lord responds with a reminder of what is in reality the case. He who formed me in the womb to be his servant. That the Lord fashioned his servant like the care and concern of a potter who shapes a jar from some clay. And why did he do it? To bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. And Jesus did. Jesus was born a Jew. He was born for the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel, that he lived up to his name, that he would save his people from their sins. But there's more to that, because that wasn't enough, even though that was great. There was something bigger and there was something better. It's not just shoveling your driveway, but the sidewalks and the driveway of everyone in your neighborhood. It's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. So what was the additional aim of the servant of all? Well, that was to be the Savior of all. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth, so that the angel then could broadcast to the scared shepherds that Christmas night, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And so Paul and Barnabas could preach forgiveness to those people in the synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, that through Jesus, all sins are sent away, not because of their work, but because of the Savior's work. But when the Jews refused, they shifted their mission to the Gentiles, citing Isaiah. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And those Gentiles like you and I rejoice. We are not to be excluded, but rather included in God's rescue plan. So it is that Jesus is the Savior of everyone, not just a certain segment of society, that Jesus is the Savior everywhere, not just a particular percentage of the population. So no more darkness of sin and ignorance, but rather the light of salvation and knowledge. And so it is that John the Baptizer could point with conviction and proclaim with confidence, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, that Jesus shed his blood for us. So no matter how loudly your conscience accuses you, Jesus, the Lamb of God, has picked up your sins. No matter how forcibly your enemy attacks you, Jesus, the Lamb of God, has carried away your sin. So no wonder one of the psalmists can have us sing, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. See what God sees in Christ, the Savior of all, of you, of me, of everyone. So maybe thanks to all those moms who boast about their children in a good way, building them up. It's not even Mother's Day, and we give a shout out to them this morning. But not everyone thinks the same, do they? But that's different when it comes to the Christ like his earthly mother. So as you and I move from the season of Christmas now into this season of Epiphany, see what God sees in Christ, the servant of all. Because that's what Jesus came to do, to serve us. See what God sees in Christ, the Savior of all. And that's why Jesus came, to save us. Yes, the servant of all is the Savior of all, both of you and of me. And that makes for a happy Epiphany. Happy Epiphany. Amen. Please stand. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. Please join with me and the whole Christian church on earth as we confess our faith in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning we use the words of the Apostles' Creed, and as you note in that middle section, all that Jesus did as the servant of all and the Savior of all, from his conception all the way to his resurrection and ascension. We join on the bottom of pages 9 and on the top of page 10 as we profess, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we continue our worship with our offering as we give to the Lamb of God the best of what he has given to us. We do that as we gather the offering. Please stand for prayer. Jesus, you are the Lord's servant. You gathered your people by God's strength and brought salvation to the ends of the earth. May your salvation come to hearts and souls everywhere. Lord Jesus, you have compassion on all and power over all. We pray that you would curb the senseless killing of the young and defenseless unborn in our country. Lead hearts to trust in you for life and to follow your plan for life and family, so that all babies might be born from the womb and then reborn into your family by your Spirit. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your protecting hand. Thank you for watching over Sharon Paul through her hospital stay for heart difficulties. Thank you for blessing the medical team through the initial tests and procedure. Please be with her through the procedure coming up on Monday. Please be with Bob Johnson during his planned medical procedure this week. Give Bob and his wife, Amanda, as well as Sharon, her husband, Neil, the confidence that they face any challenge as your children through Jesus. And in his name, we join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Maybe see as we continue our worship with our next hymn, hymn number 579, as we proclaim to the whole world, as we lift up a hip, lift high the cross, that Jesus, the servant of all, is the Savior of all. Hymn 579. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We join in singing stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn number 372.
Thank you.
may be seated. Morning once again, good for us to be in God's house, to gather around God's word as we look at that very Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and if that's the case, then he took away your sins and my sins. Apologize for the mix-up with the microphone. I usually am not tasked with such responsibility to turn it on and off by myself, so if you come back for a second service, you'll see a much more polished project. A few announcements. Thank you for worshiping with us in the morning, whether in person on TV or online. No one told me about that. Family Bible Hour today, adult Bible classes in the gym. It's called Real People, Real Savior. We'll explore one lesson on tracing Jesus' ancestry from Matthew chapter 1. Sunday school takes place in the school classrooms on the south end of the building. Child care is available for the younger ones in the kindergarten room so that their parents can attend Bible class. Accreditation, we are reaching the culmination of our school's accreditation process. The on-site team will be here later today through Wednesday to review our school's ministry and make their recommendations. I assume they're going to stop for the Packer game. Thank you to all who have participated in this effort to strive for excellence to our Savior's glory. And then annual meeting next Sunday is our Bratfry and annual voters meeting. Please sign up in the member room if you are able to attend the meal. The annual report will be available in print on Tuesday this week and will also be emailed to the congregation. I'm told to ask if anyone has announcements to highlight. Please greet those sitting around you before you leave, and then also me as you exit today. God bless your day in the Lord, who is the servant of all and the Savior of all. Amen.